Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, did you enjoy this most precious message this morning on what the Lord endured, what He went through, His sacrifice to redeem us? Amen. The most precious message. Just like to remind us at the opening of this second message, the four words related to each message. The first word this morning we saw was redemption. And this message is on termination. Tonight we'll have a wonderful message on germination. And then we will conclude tomorrow morning with a fourth message on reconciliation. So I really hope that we would remember, even memorize these four key words that kind of summarize the word of the cross. Amen. Redemption, termination, germination, and reconciliation. And there is another, if I can use the word, sister word for each of one of these. With redemption, there is sacrifice. Sacrifice. So I think we saw a wonderful picture this morning of what our Lord endured, the sacrifice that He made to redeem us back to God. With the word termination, there's another word, and that word is triumph. Termination apparently seems negative, but actually termination was Christ's triumph. Amen. At the cross. Amen. And I'd like to come back to that in a minute. Then with the third word, germination, we have life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. His death released the divine life from the shell of His humanity. Amen. It was like fire being cast upon the earth. And that fire, praise the Lord, reached us. And we were germinated into the new creation. So life. And then with the last one, with reconciliation, another wonderful word that the whole world is seeking after today. And that is peace. Peace. Reconciliation brought us peace with God and makes it possible for us to have peace with our fellow man. So four words. And then four supplementary words. I hope we would really appreciate by the end of this weekend the full significance of these words. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the four words. Then I'd just like to share a little bit the burden of this conference is that we would see. Amen. We would really see. Amen. See the word of the cross. See what the Lord did when He redeemed us. See the marvelous victory accomplished at the cross. Amen. Through this wonderful word, Amen. Termination. Amen. We would see germination, and we would see reconciliation. So there is a very particular burden on the word see. That you would see. Never underestimate the value of seeing something. The Lord asked a blind beggar one day, "What do you want me to do for you?" Immediately answered, he said, "Lord, that I may see." So may we all say that together now. Lord, that I may see. May I really see what took place at the cross. Praise the Lord. And I just want to touch, if we could open to message number one, the value of seeing, the importance of seeing. Let's just quickly reread Romans 4. Romans 4, message one. Do we see that the highest price, let's read it together. The highest price, the precious blood of Christ, was paid to redeem us from our vain manner of life, to live a holy life. For this we should have a holy fear a healthy, serious caution before God, so that as God's elect, redeemed with such a high price, we will not miss the purpose of this most high redemption of Christ. If we cannot say that this is our experience, we surely need to pray to the Lord. Lord, may I see this highest price that was paid. Lord, I want to live a holy life. Lord, you paid such a high price for me. Thank you for this most high redemption. And then let's read A, and then we'll go on to message 2. A, the value of seeing. To see the redemption of the cross will make us love the Lord and consecrate to Him. If we see, we will love. Amen. If we love, we will consecrate ourselves. Amen. What will we consecrate ourselves to, or who will we consecrate ourselves to? I would say it in a simple way. We would consecrate ourselves to Christ and the church. Amen. We would consecrate ourselves to Christ and God's eternal purpose. This is the value and this is the issue of our seeing a vision of this word, of this message, of these messages, the word of the cross. We would love the Lord more. We would consecrate our service, and we would consecrate even more ourselves. Amen. The Lord is not after something from you. He's after you. He is asking for you, your consecration. Lord, I give myself to you. He gave up Himself for us. Paul says at the end of Galatians 2:20, who loved me, the Lord who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That is the pattern set before us. That is the standard. That is what the Lord is asking from every person in this room. Give yourself unreservedly to me. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's turn to message number 2 and let's read together the title. Hallelujah. Amen. Termination. Triumph at the cross. Kind of an unusual title, putting termination and triumph together. But I hope by the end of this message we will see indeed that this termination was a triumph. Amen. And I like looking up words in the dictionary. Triumph. One definition. Spectacular success. Termination. Triumph at the cross. Spectacular success at the cross. Well, I hope we can have the veils removed from our eyes to see that this bleeding, wounded Savior, this Lamb of God hanging on the cross, that we could see beyond the outward picture to see the spiritual reality taking place at the cross. Amen. At that very time. Those 6 hours issued in triumph. Issued in a spectacular success. Wonderful. Okay, could we open our Bibles to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. And let's just read through verses 3 through 6. They're at the top of our verse sheet there. Romans 6, 3 through 6. Let's read our Bibles. Open and read our Bibles together. Amen. We love the Word of God. There is nothing you will hear this weekend that has its basis apart from the Word of God. Right. Even we saw last night the title for this conference, The Word of the Cross, is actually taken straight out of 1 Corinthians 1:18. Right? The Word of the Cross. Okay, let's read it together. Amen. Or are you ignorant that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death? We have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism. In the likeness of his death, indeed, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, the body of sin might be annulled, and we should no longer serve sin as slaves. Amen. I really hope we could pray over these verses. I'd like to just go back to verse 3. Or are you ignorant? Well, why I just want to emphasize that is because it's very possible that we would have many kinds of veils over our spiritual eyes concerning the word of the cross. There may be a veil of ignorance. That's why Paul says, are you ignorant? You don't know. So it's good to know. It's good to know about these things. However, we also may have a religious concept about the cross of Christ. We may think that, you know, it's a talisman, a religious talisman. Right? Something that we wear around our neck to ward off who knows what. Ward off evil. Right? We wear a cross. I'm not against wearing a cross. I'm just saying this, we may have a kind of a religious funny concept, or we may hang it from our driving mirror, our rear view mirror in our car, warding off accidents, kind of a religious view. Perhaps we have a familiarity, a veil of familiarity. Oh, I know this. I've read this. I can tell you all the verses. And so because we're so familiar, we're not poor in spirit like Brother Daniel encouraged us to be. We think we know. And we have our concepts. And these become a veil to us. And then also, another one, I didn't know quite how to put it, but the veil of disobedience. The Lord shows us the cross. He unveils himself as a crucified Savior. He shows us the price. Well, he'd like to show us the price, but he knows that we will not be affected by it. We even disobey the word of the cross. So he doesn't show us. He leaves us in darkness. Because why unveil if this person is not willing to respond, not willing to obey? So a veil of disobedience. And then one more. Just a veil of seeing the outward scene and missing the reality in the spirit. So I hope this evening we can take away many veils, all kinds of veils, that we would really see the scene at the cross. Amen. And then last word before we get into Roman numeral 1. I serve full time, but I also have a medical degree. So I occasionally do some medical work, and you see all kinds of illnesses, and sometimes you see people who are suffering from deficiencies. Iron deficiency anemia. Vitamin D deficiency. Their bones are brittle. Well, perhaps we also are suffering from a vitamin C deficiency. We really haven't seen the cross. Is our Christian life a healthy Christian life? Or are we deficient in some vitally necessary vitamins? Vitamin C is necessary for human life. I would put it to you that vitamin cross, another vitamin C, is vitally necessary for our going on to have a healthy Christian life. Amen. So may we get a good dose this weekend of vitamin C. Amen. All right? Let's read Roman 1 together. Amen. The crucifixion of Christ accomplished a complete redemption for us.
But redemption is not the only significance of crucifixion. Crucifixion is also the termination of all the negative things.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say that last phrase after the hyphen together. Crucifixion is also the termination of all the negative things. Okay, and A.
In ancient times, crucifixion was not used merely to cause suffering, but it was meant to cause death. Therefore, crucifixion equals death, termination.
Amen. Crucifixion was not merely suffering. Its ultimate goal was death, termination. B. On the cross, the Lord Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, terminated every negative thing in the whole universe. Hallelujah! Okay, so this is why we say that the termination was a triumph. All the problems in the universe, all the negative things, were terminated. The cross was God's wisdom, His wise way to solve all the problems. And we're going to go through all of these problems that were between God and man, between God's creation and God Himself. So on the cross, the Lord Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, we saw this morning, the eternal Spirit, it can be applied to us, to me, right now, in this room, no matter what my history, no matter what my situation, praise the Lord.
Amen.
The crucifixion, the cross of Christ can be applied to all the negative things in my universe and in the whole universe. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is a sobering word, but it's also a wonderful word. And I would just ask all of us to really exercise our spirits right now. We may be a little bit tired, you know, but, you know, we need to exercise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for taking care of all the negative things. Okay?
Amen.
So I need your spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. For us to speak this message. Amen. So let's look at these different items. Well, number one, sin. Amen. Romans 8:3 says, in part, that God sending His own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So God sent His Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. This does not mean that He had the sin of the flesh. He became a man. He partook of flesh, but He did not partake of the sin nature that was in man's flesh. Nevertheless, when God saw Him in the likeness of the flesh of sin, this afforded God a way to condemn sin in the flesh. So this is the indwelling sin that we have it's in our nature. We were born with sin. Okay? Because of man's original fall. When the enemy of God came in and poisoned man with the sin nature. Okay? Then, sins. 1 Peter 2:24. Who Himself bore up our sins in His body on the cross. So our sin nature issues in sins, right? We are not sinners because we sin. Or the other way around. Praise the Lord. We are sinners because we have sin.
Right?
We are sinners because we have sin. No matter how hard you try to be a good person, because you have sin, you are a sinner and you commit sins. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord took care of sin.
Amen.
And He took care of the sins that we commit on the cross. Isaiah 53:6, and Jehovah has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. Another translation said, and the Lord has laid all our sins on Him.
Right.
Has laid all our sins.
Amen.
Not just the sin nature by virtue of the likeness of the flesh of sin, but all the sins of the entire world. And we'll get to this as we're going through this message. Were laid on Him at the cross. And then God could come in to judge and to terminate. Amen. Okay, number 3, could we read it? Amen. So Satan, the devil, the enemy of God was what? Terminated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Terminated at the cross.
Amen.
Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore the children have shared in flesh, blood in flesh, he also in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the might of death, that is the devil. Through death, through his death on the cross, he could destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Again, may the veils be rolled away that we could see
Amen.
That on the cross, Satan was judged and was terminated.
Amen.
Actually, there is a picture in Numbers 21 where the children of Israel were murmuring against Moses. And God sent fiery serpents into the camp. And the people were being bitten, and when they were bitten, they died. Dying from the sin of rebellion, like all of us, rebellious sinners. And then Moses cried out to God, and God said, okay, make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift up the bronze serpent on the pole. And then it says, everyone who looked at the serpent lived. Now, that's the positive side. The Lord dying on the cross as the bronze serpent. But he was in the form of the serpent. Bronze serpent. He did not have the sin of the serpent or the poison of the serpent. But he, as the bronze serpent, died on the cross, terminating the real serpent who was Satan. Hallelujah.
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 Okay. 4. Let's read 4. The world, the cosmos, the evil system of Satan. Amen. So Satan has a world system, and when Satan was destroyed, he also, his world system was also annulled, made of no effect. Right? The ruler of this world. This judgment has come to the ruler of this world. Okay? Amen. So not only Satan, but his world system was also destroyed on the cross. Okay, could we read 5? Amen. Death! Hallelujah! Death. The wages of sin is death. But he died in our place. And Hebrews 2:14, which we already said, through death might destroy him who has the might of death. Another verse, I'd just like you to add it in. 2 Timothy 1:10. 2 Timothy 1:10 says in part, our Savior, Christ Jesus, who nullified death and brought life and incorruption to light.
Amen.
He nullified death. Death, the last enemy, is being destroyed, having been annulled on the cross.
Amen.
We no longer have to be under the fear of death.
Amen.
Because it's been nullified by our wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, 6. Let's read it. The flesh of fallen man, the living out of the old man. Galatians 5:24, but they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its lusts. Praise the Lord. I don't have to be enslaved to my flesh. This is why we want you to see these points this weekend. When these things well up in our being, if we've seen the vision, we can stand. We can declare the divine facts. We can apply these wonderful, spiritual, actual facts in our personal experience.
Amen.
When Satan comes to bother us, Satan, don't you know that you have been crucified on the cross? Hallelujah. Flesh, don't you know? You're buried in the tomb. I don't have to be enslaved to you anymore. Praise the Lord. These are the facts. If we see these facts, our Christian life will be revolutionized. Amen? Okay, so I really hope we would spend some time later. We'll talk about this. Really praying these points into our being. Amen. Seven, the self as the expression of our natural life. Amen. Our self. Oh, how many times are we troubled by our self, our person? Just me. I'm just a constitution of me. My opinions, my preferences, my attitudes, my emotions, my strong mind, my weak will. It's just troublesome to the uttermost. But praise the Lord! Amen. Myself, I have been crucified with Christ, said Paul. And it is no longer I who live. Praise the Lord. It's no longer I! Because that self was taken to the cross by my wonderful Savior. Amen. Okay? There's also the reference there, Matthew 16:24. If anyone wants to come after me, if you want to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I think we're all very fond of, I'm certainly very fond of saying, oh, following the Lamb. Follow the Lamb wherever he may go. Who has that aspiration? To follow the Lamb wherever he may go. Well, the first place he went to was the cross. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. But how? Take up the cross. This is the application. This is the key to dealing with the self. The crucified Christ, the cross of Christ, allows us to deny the self and follow the Lord. Amen. Okay? Eight. The old creation represented by the old man. Romans 6:6, we read it. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified. Apparently, most of us in this room are very young. Right? Late teens, early 20s, maybe mid 20s. But actually, we are so old. By virtue of our old man, the old creation, the old nature. We're old. We're thousands of years old, actually. Because of the old creation. And we just want to get rid of that old creation. And be in the new creation. Well, the doorway, the pathway from the old creation into the new creation is the cross of Christ. Amen. Amen. Wonderful cross. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Nine. Let's read it. The separating. Amen. The separating. Ephesians 2:15. Abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself on the cross into one new man. Amen. The separating ordinances. Amen. All the things that separate us from one another are taken to the cross and crucified. So whether you come from Korea or China or Ireland or America or Texas, all the separating ordinances, all the ways of living, all the different preferences, all the different cultures, praise the Lord, are nailed to the cross, allowing us to be at peace and be at one with one another as a testimony of the reality of the one new man. What a wonderful, all-inclusive death our Savior accomplished on the cross. And then finally, the Adamic race. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ was the last Adam. After him, there was no more Adam. That is the end of the Adamic race. Praise the Lord. But it's the beginning of the second man, the new creation of God, with Christ as the head and we the members of his body. But again, the picture, the gateway, the doorway out of the old race, out of the old creation and into the new race of the one new man and the new creation is through the cross. Amen. Okay, so, and then I'd just like to say finally on this particular point, 6, 7, 8, and 10. Flesh, self, old man, Adamic race. That's you and me. Right? We were brought to the cross. Amen. When the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, I was crucified with Him. Amen. I was crucified in Him. Amen. It is, so, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. And it is now no longer I who live, Amen. But it is Christ, Amen. Hallelujah, who lives in me. Yet the life that I now live, I live in faith. Well, that I, the life that I now live is the new I. Praise the Lord. There was an old I. I, the old I, am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer the old I that lives, but it is Christ who lives in me and the life which the new I lives. Right. Praise the Lord. If we would see this, Lord, unveil me. Amen. Unveil us to see this wonderful, triumphant termination. End in me. Amen. Just me. Me, the self, the old man, the flesh, terminated. Triumphantly, Amen. Effectively, Amen. Finally, Amen. On the cross. Amen. When he was there, I was there. When he was buried, praise the Lord, I was buried with him. And we'll see more about burial as we go on. Okay, could we read C? Man. Amen. Okay. We don't really have time to, but basically, all of these 10 points are related to us. Sins, Satan, the world, all of this is related to us. And so, when Adam fell, sometimes I think we don't really understand the significance of the fall of Adam. But basically, when Adam fell, the whole creation, created by God, fell because Adam was involved, associated with, and the head of the whole old creation. So when Satan attacked, he was hitting the bullseye, so he thought. He was hitting the bullseye. If I take out Adam, I take out everything. And that is actually what happened. But praise the Lord. God, hallelujah, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Amen. God had a plan. Hallelujah. So he sent his son to become the last Adam, to become a man, an all-inclusive man. And when that man went to the cross, all of Satan's work was destroyed. The whole old creation, all the things we've just read, were centralized in man. And when this man came, he took all of the old creation to the cross and crucified it, terminated. So I think we could use it. We'll just use a little illustration. We'll take a little pause for an illustration. Okay, Phil, praise the Lord. We'll take you. Amen. You could stand here, Nathan. Cue Nathan. We'll have Nathan just stand here. Okay? So, this is Adam. Phil is Adam. And Adam was created perfectly by God, sinless, beautifully made, handsome, etc., etc. Perfect. God's perfect creation. Except for that he did not have God living within him. He certainly, he did not have the divine life, but created in the image and likeness of God, anticipating God's will to indwell man. But then Satan came along, right, and said, okay, God wants to get into man, I'll get there first. So Satan comes, tempts him to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and gets into man. Okay? You can hold on to that. Poisoning man. And basically, effectively, over time, killing man. The sin nature. Killing man. Killing man. Killing man. Now, I need some jackets. Jackets. Brothers. Front row brothers. I need all your jackets. Thank you. So, little by little, sin and Satan gets into him. He starts to commit sins. Of course, we had a jacket earlier that was very positive. But now, the old creation, okay? All that list. Can you mention some other things from that list?
Death.
Death. Oh, wonderful. Death. What else? What else?
Self.
Self. Self. Self. Self. Oh, poor man. Self. What else? The flesh. The flesh. What else? The law. Okay? The world. More jackets. The world. Satan is already in there. Bad case. This is man. This is man's condition. This is man. God's creation, made in the image and likeness of God, buried, destroyed, ruined, poisoned, corrupted, in oneness with Satan, expressing Satan. Layers and layers. What is God going to do? I created him to express me. I created him so that I could indwell him. And he, but now what? What am I going to do? What can I do? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I will send my son. You okay down there?
Yeah.
Amen. I will send my son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. A man without the sin of the flesh. Living, moving on this earth, just like us, partaking of flesh and blood, in every way like us, except without sin. In every way like us, in the world, in the walking in the satanic system. And then, this man, praise the Lord, God, and all of this stuff is centralized in man. Then God takes that man, the Lord Jesus, the all-inclusive man, and puts him on the cross, and nails, and judges, and terminates, and kills, and I said judge already, all of the negative things that were on man, he took them, up we got, and he took them to the cross, and he nailed them there, hallelujah! And all of those things got killed. Got terminated. We'll take your jacket too. Okay. All of these things. You know, there's a scene actually where it says that the demons were swarming around Christ at the cross. We'll read the verse shortly. Swarming, trying to stop this judgment taking place, trying to stop this termination. And it says that the Lord shrugged them off like a cloth. Just get off. And they were then all terminated.
Hallelujah.
And then, hallelujah, our man is resurrected.
Hallelujah.
Free.
Amen.
Set free.
Amen.
By the cross.
Amen.
All of the negative things. All our past, all our history, all of those things weighing us down,
right.
Burying us, holding us down,
Amen.
Holding us back. This is the all-inclusive solution to all the pollution in the universe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Arms up. Hallelujah!
Okay,
thank you very much. Brothers, we can sort out jackets later, I think. Okay, so yeah, that's the best I can do for a picture. But you see, all of the things. Phil really wants a jacket. Okay, your pen's in there. You need that. Amen. Buried. Okay? Buried. Buried. Terminated. Gone. Off the scene. Finished. Buried. Gone. That's it. So now, if we are in Christ who's in resurrection, He just sees His Son in resurrection. Our past, our history, the big creep, Satan, his evil angels, sins, they're gone. They're gone. They're in the tomb. Hallelujah. We are free by virtue of our believing in, believing and being baptized into Christ and His death. We are set free. Do you see the picture? Okay. I could illustrate it one more way very, very quickly, and I'll just do this back here again under the blankets on this, just for 1 minute. Those 10 items, right? This is Christ. I'll put up my Bible. And all of these things were put on Him, right? 1, 2. Okay, I don't know. I have 10 pens here. I'm not going to use 10 pens, but, right? Sins, the flesh, Satan, the world, the old man, right? What else? Death, hallelujah. What else? Okay, all of those things put on Christ. Right? They're all in there. And then God comes in. And whatever happens to Him happens to whatever's with Him on the cross. Right? When He was judged, you consider what He endured. 6 hours on the cross, but don't forget the night before, right after the Last Supper, Judas leaves to go and betray Him. He goes to the garden to pray in agony, beseeching the Father, please, if it's possible, take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will. He goes back, the disciples are sleeping. Then the crowd comes with the swords, armed, to arrest Him. His disciples flee. He's taken before the Sanhedrin. They have an illegal trial with false witnesses. They lie. They say all manner of things. He doesn't answer a word. So this is all even before the cross. They're hitting Him. They blindfold Him. They hit Him. They spit at Him. Prophesy, Savior. Who hit you? Right? Then Peter at a distance is denying Him 3 times with cursing. I never knew Him. He's taken to Pilate. He's ferried over to Herod. He's mocked. He's brought back to Pilate. He is sentenced to death. He is scourged. He is whipped. He is given a cross. He carries it all the way to Calvary. That's all before the 6 hours on the cross. Think of what He endured on our behalf. The shame, the despising. And then they crucify Him and they're mocking Him as He's suffering on the cross. For the first 3 hours, but at 12 o'clock, at midday, the sky is darkened. And that is when God laid your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, right? I think October 31st, 7 billion people on the planet, living people, 7 billion people. I don't know how many people precede that for the last, since the creation of man. The sins of more than 7 billion people were put on Him. And God judged the sin of the world, laid it on Him, and judged it. Whatever is associated with Him on the cross, whatever happens, death and burial, it all goes with Him into the grave. Praise the Lord. That's God's way. God's way is not to negotiate as we do. Lord, what if I do this? I'll give you that if you give me this. That's not God's way. God's way is termination. The end. I'll just put it all into the grave. I appreciate again Daniel's word last night. We draw something, we design something, we don't like it, we crumple it up and we throw it in the trash. Right? Well, God would not give up His original plan. He would not give up on man. So He had to become a man Himself. Take all the negative things associated with that first man to the cross and terminate it. And then we'll see tonight with Brother Tony, praise the Lord, resurrection. If no death, no life. If no death, no life. But when this death comes in, life, resurrection life flows out. And all the negative things, hallelujah, are in the grave. Satan is in the lake of fire. Our sins, our past, our history, all the negative things are buried with him in the tomb. And we are set free to rise up and walk in newness of life.
Amen.
We can have a new beginning every single day because of the triumph, the spectacular success at the cross. Is that, would we agree? Spectacular success? Spectacular. Who could think? Who could plan? Make such a plan? Only our wise God and Savior.
Amen.
Praise Him. Okay, we'll need to go on now with the rest of the points, okay? If I can find it on the outline. Okay, so I think we're on, are we at 2? C2. Let's read C2. Praise the Lord. Amen. All things. All things.
Amen.
Can you think of anything that was not brought to an end at the cross? All things were brought to an end at the cross. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go on to 2. Amen. Can we read it? The Lord Jesus has won the victory on the cross. Let's really say that with an exercise spirit.
The Lord Jesus has won the victory on the cross.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus has won the victory. There's only one winner in this universe, and that is our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
A. Let's read it. Through being crucified as the brass serpent, the Lord Jesus crushed the head of the old serpent to destroy the devil who had the power of death and all his evil works. Amen. Okay? B.
After his death and before his resurrection, Christ proclaimed to Satan's followers God's victory over the devil through the crucifixion of Christ.
Amen. Actually, probably we should have read C first, so let's read C. While Christ was working to accomplish redemption, the rulers and authorities came to interfere. But at this very juncture,
God stripped them off, triumphed over them, and made a display of them openly, putting them to open shame.
Amen. So while he was on the cross, at the last minute, Satan realized, oh no, big mistake. I am getting terminated here. As this man is being judged at the noon hour when the sin of the world, when God came in, for the first 3 hours, man was mocking. Man was crucifying the Lord Jesus. The first 3 hours belonged to men. But then the last 3 hours, the sky darkened, and God came in to judge every negative thing, as we said already. And then, it was then that the rulers, the authorities, the princes, they realized we've got to stop this. But they couldn't stop it. And so there is a verse, Colossians 2:15, and it says, stripping off the rulers and the authorities. Right? That's the spiritual evil angels in the air. Stripping them off. He made a display of them openly, triumphing over them in it, meaning in the cross. There's where we get the word triumph for. Triumphing. A spectacular success. Satan tries to come in to stop it, and the Lord in the spiritual realm just strips off all of Satan and his evil followers, angelic princes. And then, okay, then he dies. Right? And what was the last thing he said on, well, the second to last thing he said on the cross was, it is finished. It is finished. He didn't mean, oh, I'm about to die, oh, too bad. He meant, I've done it. I've done, everything that was required of me to obey the Father and to take care of the Father's plan. Another translation says, everything has been done. I have it here somewhere, but anyway, I'll find it. Everything has been done. It is finished.
Amen.
I've taken care of all the problems. And then it says, Father, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he died. He gave up his own life. He ended it. It's done. I'm finished. Okay, time to die. He didn't just expire. He gave up his life for us.
Amen.
I've done it all. I've done everything. Now, the next step is I need to die. So he died.
Amen.
And then we have B here, which we'll reread. After his death, we may think, oh, so that's it. He gets put in the grave for 3 days. And then, you know, resurrection morning, he's back on the job, so to speak. I say that reverently. But actually, there was something much going on in those 3 days. So let's read B again. After his death, Christ proclaimed to Satan's followers God's victory over the devil through the crucifixion of Christ. The reference is 1 Peter 3:19. I'll include 18 and just read them quickly to you. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the righteous on behalf of the unrighteous, that he might bring you and me to God. On the one hand, being put to death in the flesh, but on the other, made alive in the spirit. As his flesh was being put to death, his spirit, the essence of his divinity, was being enlivened. And then it says, in which spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. He didn't preach the gospel. He went to the most dark, deep pits of Tartarus, of Hades, and told the evil angels there, you lost. I just won. I just killed your leader. You are finished. It's all over. So what a word. I mean, this is our Savior. He's in the grave bodily, but in his spirit, he is in the depths of the earth, telling all the evil angels there, you lost. Hallelujah. And then after 3 days, what did he do? He took the keys of death and Hades, and he walked right out of death. Hallelujah, into resurrection.
Amen.
And you know who he brought with him? You and me.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We were set free.
Amen.
Okay. So let's go on quickly. Three. In our Christian life, is that right? Is that where we are? In our Christian life, we do not experience the cross once for all. We experience the cross
again and again.
Okay, and I'll read Luke 9:23, and he said to them, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.
Amen.
Take up his cross daily and follow me. Okay. Hey, sisters.
When you believe into the Lord Jesus, you became identified with him and we were terminated.
Okay, very good. Brothers, B.
We were baptized into his death.
Okay, I wish we had time to reread Romans 6:3-6, but I'd like to bring this point of application. We're trying to show you the divine facts, okay? All that I've spoken to you are divine facts recorded in the Word of God. They're the facts. We need to know the facts, and we need to apply the facts. The first step of applying these facts is by being baptized. When we believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes into us to regenerate us, to redeem us, and to save us. Praise Him. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, when we are baptized, we are put into the Lord Jesus and His death. So when we believe, He comes into us. When we're baptized, we're put into Him. You see, so this is a complete and full salvation. There's a line here, most of you, none of you can see it except for the front row. When I take a step, right? When I move forward, I take one step and I'm over the line, right? But I still have to complete my step. It's one step of two parts. Okay? And that's called believe, be baptized.
Amen.
Believe,
Amen.
Be baptized. One full complete step. Okay? So the way we apply Christ's death in the way of a type, in the way of a sign, and in way of an outward testimony is that we are buried in the death waters of baptism. Based on the facts that we've already seen, that all the negative things were taken to the cross and terminated by Christ on the cross. When we are baptized in the water, using our spirit, exercising our spirit, the spirit applies the reality of those facts to our personal experience. When you are buried, the spirit, when you are baptized, the spirit applies the fact of Christ's death on the cross to everything related to you. Your past, your history, your sins, your everything negative is buried in those death waters. So the way that we respond to the first two messages is believe and be baptized. I'll give you a quick example. We're running out of time. If you go to Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 12 is the Passover feast. I think we've already talked about that, right? The children of Israel on the night of the Passover were in the house covered by the blood, right? The blood was covering. They put their faith in the blood on the doorpost. They're in the house. And what are they doing? They're eating the lamb. They're getting the lamb inside of them, right? The lamb is getting into them. And they're covered from God's judgment, right? They're covered. So no more judgment. And the lamb is inside of them. But they are still in Egypt, right? I just got saved from the death judgment on Egypt. But I'm still in Egypt. I need a further salvation. I have to leave Egypt. How do I leave Egypt? I leave Egypt by crossing the Red Sea. So in chapter 14, they cross the Red Sea. Pharaoh, signifying Satan, goes, wait a minute, what are we doing letting these people leave our sphere of influence? They served us as slaves in our world. We want them back. So Pharaoh pursued after the children of Israel. And verse 9 says, of 14, and the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them as they encamped by the sea. And then verse 13 says, but Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Okay, maybe some of us have a fear of baptism, fear of, you know, kind of everybody seeing me, what will they think of me? The word of God says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will accomplish for you today.
Amen.
Okay, that's my little word to anybody here who has not been baptized and who's afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see no more again forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a termination. You will never see these troublesome, troubling Egyptians again. And then one more, verse 28. And as the waters returned, they covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all the army of Pharaoh that went in after them into the sea, not even one of them was left.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see the effectiveness of baptism. Amen. In terminating, applying the facts of what was accomplished on the cross to us in our actual experience. Right? When we receive the Lord Jesus, we are definitely saved. But I think all of us can say there are so many things that still try to hold on to us. When we are baptized, we are standing on the divine facts and applying the death of Christ to in our actual experience.
Amen.
There's just too many things to say about baptism, but I'll just read a few. We're baptized into Christ Jesus and into His death, an effective death.
Amen.
We are baptized into Christ.
Amen.
We put on Christ, a living person.
Amen.
We are baptized into the triune God, into the name of the triune God. We're baptized into the divine name. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we are baptized into the body of Christ, a living organism. It transfers us out of the old creation into the new creation. It terminates, as we've seen from the picture in Exodus 14, all the negative things, terminates Satan, his world system, and his hold over us. And it terminates our old man and our former manner of life. So the application of this wonderful redemption, salvation, and termination is our loving response. Lord, I want to be one with you in your death through baptism.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if we have been baptized, okay, then praise the Lord. We apply in faith the effectiveness of that baptism. Some will say, well, I was baptized aged 11 or 12. I didn't understand the significance. I didn't realize what I was doing. Well, how much do we actually know on the day that we were saved? We knew very little, but we, by faith, received our salvation. The same principle applies. We don't fully understand the effectiveness of baptism when we're baptized, but it is applied to us in the spiritual realm. So there's no need to be re-baptized. You exercise your spirit of faith. The reality of baptism is in the spirit.
Right.
We still must take this outward step, but it's meaningless without the inward spiritual reality of our belief and the exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
But we need this outward step also to effect a complete salvation.
Amen.
Then we can boldly testify,
amen,
to Satan, when I was buried, you were buried.
Amen.
Your world was buried. Your grip, your influence, my past, all of the things,
amen,
buried.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay?
Amen.
And then let's just conclude. Okay, so I think we're on C. Okay. If we love the Lord Jesus, He will show us the cross and enable us to receive and bear the cross. Amen. I appreciated all of the testimonies after the first meeting, but two that struck out to me. There was one sister who said, we need to fully repent of our sins. There are many things that we've shared concerning the cross. Well, as we've shared, the cross is the gateway. It's the pathway out of the old creation into the new creation. But I would ask, because this is a conference on the word of the cross, how much of my personal life has passed through the cross? Okay? There's the first step, a necessary step of our baptism. But what about so many other things? And I could go through an exhaustive list. The point is not to have an exhaustive list. The point is to point us to go to the Lord. Lord, I don't want anything of the old creation to remain. So I'd like to bring all the matters related to me to you. I'd like to apply the reality of the cross and my baptism to everything. How I spend my time. How many hours I spend playing video games on a Saturday night. So I'm too tired to come to the church meeting the next morning, for instance, right? Because we said we love the Lord, we consecrate. What are we consecrating ourselves to? Is it just a word or is it real? I consecrate myself to Christ and the church. But then we kind of, you know, I don't know, we don't follow through. So this is why we need, and I would just encourage us, we have another meeting tonight, but spend some time personally, to open to the Lord, allow Him to shine, that needs to go through the cross. That needs to go. That relationship, right? That relationship. Brothers, sisters, a proper relationship. Have we allowed the cross to operate in our relationships with a member of the opposite sex? How about with our family? Oh, I can't come. I can't go. I have to be with my family. Has that been put on the cross? Have we allowed the Lord access to this and that? The list is endless. I could stand here for hours, but that's not the point. The point is we need to take the fellowship we're receiving this weekend and bring it back to the Lord. I call it closing the loop. There needs to be a prayerful response to the word that we've received. Otherwise, it's just a vaporous inspiration. You'll be inspired. You'll be moved. You'll be touched. You'll come to the microphone. You'll make all kinds of declarations. And then you'll go down the mountain. And within a week, it will be like conference, word, the word of something. Really, right? I know what I'm talking about, right? We need to close the loop by praying. Lord, what about the word of the cross? Lord, I saw this weekend the price, the tremendous, supreme sacrifice you made for me. Lord, I'd like to respond lovingly by consecrating myself practically. Right? Paul is very wise. Romans 12:2. Present your body a living sacrifice, which is your most reasonable service. Not your heart, not your mind, not your aspiration. Present your body. Say, for instance, Christ and the church. Home meetings. Brothers and sisters in Long Beach. Student prayer meeting. Student prayer meeting. Present your body. We made a special arrangement so the students could have an opportunity to pray. One or two come to the student prayer meeting. But I consecrate myself to Christ and the church. This is what is ungodly. You know what the Lord gave Himself up for? The church. Ephesians 5:25-27. Who Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. We want to love what the Lord loves. I don't want to love the world. I don't want to love Satan and his world system. I want to love what the Lord loves. Practical consecration. Okay, we better finish. Okay, what's the next point? Amen. D. If we want to follow Christ, we need to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Him by exercising our spirit to experience the Spirit with the element of the subjective crucifixion of our flesh. Brother Tony will develop this much tonight. The reality of all of these things, all of these wonderful things we've heard about, are in our spirit, in the mingled spirit, in the spirit of Christ. Practical way of applying this also besides baptism. Let's read E. When we pray read the word, every word becomes rhema, the sword that cuts the enemy. In this way, we not only subdue the enemy and defeat him, but slay him and even cut him into pieces. So maybe at some point we could pray read Romans 6:3-6. Prayerfully pray over, offered it prayerfully, these verses to the Lord as our consecration and prayer. F. The cross leads to the body, and the cross operates in the sphere of the body. Amen. Amen. Could we read the focus? Let's stand up and read the focus. Christ died victoriously on the cross, terminating every negative thing in the universe, so that we, in union with Him, may bear the cross subjectively for our daily victory over Satan, sin, the world, and the self. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Amen. Okay.